Chapter 2. In Fashion. It is but a glimpse of the world of fashion that we want on this same miry afternoon. It is not so unlike the Court of Chancery, but that we may pass from one scene to the other, as the crow flies. Both the world of fashion and the Court of Chancery are things of precedent and usage. Oversleeping Rip Van Winkles who have played at strange games through a deal of thundery weather. Sleeping beauties whom the night will wake one day when all the stopped spits in the kitchen shall begin to turn prodigiously. It is not a large world, relatively even to this world of ours, which has its limits too, as your Highness shall find when you have made the tour of it and are come to the brink of the void beyond. It is a very little speck. There is much good in it. There are many good and true people in it. It has its appointed place. But the evil of it is that it is a world wrapped up in too much jeweller's cotton and fine wool, and cannot hear the rushing of the larger worlds, and cannot see them as they circle round the sun. It is a deadened world, and its growth is sometimes unhealthy for want of air. My Lady Dedlock has returned to her house in town for a few days previous to her departure for Paris, where her ladyship intends to stay some weeks, after which her movements are uncertain. The fashionable intelligence says so for the comfort of the Parisians, and it knows all fashionable things. To know things otherwise were to be unfashionable. My Lady Dedlock has been down at what she calls, in familiar conversation, her place in Lincolnshire. The waters are out in Lincolnshire. An arch of the bridge in the park has been sapped and sopped away. The adjacent low-lying ground for half a mile in breadth is a stagnant river, with melancholy trees for islands in it, and a surface punctured all over, all day long, with falling rain. My lady's place has been extremely dreary. The weather for many a day and night has been so wet that the trees seem wet through, and the soft loppings and prunings of the woodman's axe can make no crash or crackle as they fall. The deer, looking soaked, leave quagmires where they pass. The shot of a rifle loses its sharpness in the moist air, and its smoke moves in a tardy little cloud towards the green rise, coppice-topped, that makes a background for the falling rain. The view from my Lady Dedlock's own windows is alternately a